You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it up. You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. Find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks. Also, the show handle at Locked On Brewers. And on Facebook, facebook.com/Locked On Brewers as well. We will get into a couple things today, including the biggest storylines of the offseason, the biggest issues facing the Brewers. There's a lot of them, and we'll get into it. And it really, today is more of a summary of that because it's going to be what we spend a lot of time talking about over the next 4 months and seeing how the Brewers go about dealing with the issues at hand. So we'll get into that. Also, Thursday on the show, as scheduled, Dr. Scott will join us. We'll talk about what kind of difference would it have made to have Lorenzo Cain. I don't know that there'll be a ton of talk about that this offseason, but I just think it, what do the analytics say? If Lorenzo Cain had had one of his average seasons, what would that have translated to in terms of wins and offensive output for the Brewers? So we'll get into that with our Brewers sabermetrics genius on Thursday. Also, David Stearns talked to the media on Monday, and I want to recap that on tomorrow's podcast. So that is what is ahead this week here on Locked On Brewers. Before we get into today's topic, though, I want to let you know the show is brought to you by Postmates. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. Code LOCKEDON at Postmates and download that app. Just repeating. So, Brewers, just again, everybody has this, but the Brewers certainly have a lot of questions and issues heading into 2020. I tried to narrow it down to five. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do. So we'll get into it here. You know, as you just look at this, and again, we're kind of recovering, and the whole season, the whole question about, you know, how you evaluate this stuff, how you evaluate 2020 is a difficult one. I mean, it is. It's only 60 games. It's one third of a season. It's far less, far fewer games than you would have had to evaluate in a regular season. And you don't want to overreact, right? I mean, you know, come on. It's again, it's equivalent to playing through May. Equivalent to having Memorial Day gone in the books. Well, we know a ton can change after Memorial Day. And everyone can point to the Nationals, right? In 2019, what were they, 12 games under 500? In May or at that point, or whatever it was, and they come back, of course, and they're one of the best teams in baseball, if not the best, the rest of the season. They survive the Brewers in an elimination game in the wild card, and they go on to win the World Series. And so, you know, that just shows you, and that's happened before in baseball, and the Brewers were 29-31 after 60 games. 29-31, you know, I don't know. What could they have been in a normal season with Lorenzo Cain? You know, we can get into that later in the week, like I mentioned with Dr. Scott. I think they would have been over 500. Would they have been a playoff team? I don't know. You know, with the pitching, you'd want to say yes if they'd had any kind of turnaround offensively. You'd think so. Baseball's a funny game, though. You just never know. Sometimes when the offense starts to turn around, the pitching goes south in a long season. You just don't know. So it brings us to, I think, the top five issues. And we'll see if we still feel this way in January, February about, you know, what our thoughts are right here in October. And now the Brewers season had just come to an end. And will we feel this way, you know, a few months from now? I don't know. But I think the number one, I'll just count them down, or count them up here. The number one overall issue to me is Christian Yelich. Now, I know that, again, you jump to his defense, and you should, saying, hey, it's only 60 games. It's an anomaly. He's not really going to, you know, he'll be back. He'll be fine. You know, some people pointing to the injury that he fouled the ball off his knee and he won't ever be the same. I mean, I find that hard to believe, right? So we had a long discussion about this with Dr. Scott a couple of weeks ago. There are some things that give you hope about Christian Yelich. But overall, you know, you're talking about a back-to-back batting champ who lost over 100 points on his batting average. Not that that stat matters. Doesn't these days, I guess. But just had a miserable season by Christian Yelich standards. It started early, if you remember on the podcast, just before the season started when the Brewers were playing that blue-gold scrimmage that was kind of fun at Miller Park and Christian Yelich was struggling so much. I said all through that series, I was just a little bit worried about Christian Yelich. Well, I guess I should have been saying a little bit worried the whole season. You know, because he ended up having a bad year. I mean, it was really bad. 205, yeesh, right? Not good at all. He was never hurt or injured or anything like that. He just really did not find it at the plate. And it's, even though it's a short sample size, it's kind of shocking, right? If you just look at it and you look at what he did in 2018 and 2019, how incredible he was playing at a Hall of Fame level. Brewers signed him to a 9, 10 year, whatever you want to call it, contract, $200+ million. You're super pumped. He comes out and, you know, again, he did get on base a decent amount. He hit some home runs, but he just struggled overall. That's all you can say about it. And it's indicative of the entire offense. But that's why, to me, it's a number one issue, because he is the rock solid center of this baseball team. And he's got to play at an MVP level. I mean, he still can. He's still in his prime. It's going to be 29 next year. You know, that's the prime time. He's still got to bring it and rebound. And that, to me, is it like this giant question mark? Like, oh, there's no way he can do it. No, of course not. But he's got to go out and do it. And it's funny how one season can can put doubts in your mind. One shortened season. You know, look, the situation's not going to be back to normal of all normals by March or April of next year. It's not going to happen. You're going to have something going on. I think they'll start the season on time. I feel like they'll probably maintain the schedule that has already been set forth. You know, we're going to, as far as COVID goes, I got the feeling we're going to have a rough couple of months ahead as a country. You know, everybody's heading indoors. We can already see in Wisconsin, it's not good news right now. We're spiking all over the place. But it's happening in other states too, because it's cold and flu season. And this is what's going to happen here. And so vaccine's not going to be available probably till March, and widespread distribution, I'm thinking at least March, could be later. And, you know, that means spring training is going to be kind of weird if they go down and do this in Arizona. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely possible the season could be pushed back again. I doubt it. I think they'll figure out a way to do it and play the games, but it's going to be weird. There's not going to be fans in the stands, I don't think, to start the year. That's my thought. You know, I just don't think it's going to happen. So, again, if you want to blame this year from Christian Yelich on just being an awkward year, okay, but it's not going to be normal next year. Definitely not at the start. So, you know, I think he'll bounce back, but to what degree? It gives you pause, because he is, again, the heartbeat of the team, and they need him playing at his level if they're going to be real contenders here. So that's issue number one, and then we'll have a lot of time to discuss that, and all these, as we will for all these issues over the next, you know, 4 months. So issue two, can Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff become elite and a 1-2 punch? You know, Corbin Burnes was there this year. Really too bad that he went down with the injury. Do I think the Dodgers still win the series? Yeah, because the Brewers couldn't score. But it would have been fun to have him pitching in game one, for sure. And it would have been great experience for him as well. So it's really too bad that he went down with the injury. But all told, I mean, what can you say about the season from Corbin Burnes, except it's the best story on the club this year. And, you know, Devin Williams, I think, gives him a good run for his money. But Corbin Burnes had pitched himself, you know, down to the mid-level minor league baseball last year. He was just off the cliff. And to turn around and, you know, have a discussion point in the Cy Young Award, even in a shortened season, I mean, what an incredible turnaround. You got to, the human brain, you see, tends to go negative. Well, let's focus on the positive on this guy, right? It's pretty good. It's really good. It's better than you ever could have expected. You know, we talked about him being a complete wild card coming to the season. And boy, did that pay out. You know, that was outstanding from Corbin Burnes. You know, now, can he back it up and do it again for an entire season? You know, that's why it's number two issue. Because if Burns and Woodruff can come back and do this, and for Woodruff, you know, look, he ran into some bad luck against the Dodgers, too, in that fifth inning. A couple of bad defensive plays, a strike call that he thought was a strike that he didn't get, but it wasn't a strike, so he shouldn't have gotten it. But, you know, whatever. He had this ace-like performance against the Cardinals and then couldn't get out of the fifth against the Dodgers. And that's a trend for Brandon Woodruff, and that is a step he absolutely needs to overcome. But it's a step that young pitchers do overcome. So if he can do that in 2021 and Corbin Burns can be Corbin Burns here, well, then you start to think, boy, this is going to be fun, right, from a pitching standpoint. Going to have to find some hitting, but from a pitching standpoint, this is going to be a lot of fun over the course of 162 and maybe into the playoffs if everybody's in there healthy and you got these two guys starting. You know, that lines up well with typically a really good bullpen from the Brewers. So to me, it's can Woodruff become the ace we want him to become? Can Burns actually do the same? Because it's a great story here, but it's, again, small sample size. Small sample size. You know, so, you know, get back to the pitching lab and continue to really be really good, Corbin Burns. And everybody knows he's got this incredible potential. He makes batters look foolish. Everybody knows Woodruff's got a lot of great potential as well and has realized a good portion of it. But can he take the final step? Can Burns really become an ace? And then it can be a lot of fun. You really look forward to it when you have a great pitcher going every five turns, and the Brewers could have a couple of them. Issue three, the bullpen. Is always, you know, how is it going to come together? And it, my favorite part about it is there's always guys that you don't think about that step up. I think for every club, but definitely for the Brewers. You know, look, we got Hader. You got Williams. Get to Josh Hader and maybe trade rumors in a minute. But you got Hader, Devin Williams. Knebel, second year off Tommy John. You know, he showed some uptick. He showed some real promise down the stretch. Could he become himself again? And if he does, and you've got Hader and Williams on this roster, plus Drew Rasmussen, you know, got good experience this year. Can he elevate and become a seventh inning guy? What about Bobby Wall? He's still with the Brewers. Freddie Peralta, what's his role going to be? You know, does he finally graduate to a starting pitcher? He could, and that wouldn't be a bad move if he can, you know, be himself. You know, he could be a real solid number three for this club. And then, you know, you have the other guys that just are in the organization or guys they pick up that they're so good at piecing together a bullpen. And it's got to be a big issue for the Brewers because it's how they win. It's, you know, that's why it's third on my list because it's how they win. You know, they haven't had starters that you get excited about in a lot of years. It's been all about the bullpen. Well, now maybe they have a couple starters, and maybe Freddie Peralta can take that step, and you can get really excited about their starting rotation, but there's the bullpen still, and it's still something that's really good for the Brewers. I mean, Eric Yardley had a great season. I mean, he really did. Side-winding righty. And then there's always the issue of Alex Claudio. Will they re-sign Claudio? Everybody listening right now going, no, and I'm kind of in the same boat, but you know, they're gonna put together a bullpen, and it's gonna be a lot more expansive with a regular normal length season than it was this year. So again, that's issue three. We'll be talking about a lot during the offseason. Issue four, really the biggest pickups, three of them for the Brewers in this offseason. Narvaez at catcher, big trade for him. Avisail Garcia, you know, never got comfortable this year. Wasn't awful, but wasn't what you want from him. Brewers signed him to a three-year contract. They expect him to produce in that outfield. And, yeah, he had to move positions because of Lorenzo Cain opting out. But he just never hit for home runs at Miller Park the way you expected him to. And will these guys, Narvaez and Garcia, they have enough of a career average here to say, well, they should be better. Will they progress to the mean? And if they do, it could mean really good things. But Narvaez just had as bad as Christian Yelich was. Narvaez was so far off his career average as well that it was, you know, kind of shocking. Now, you know, as fans, and I include myself in this, I had never seen the guy play that much before at all over in Seattle. You know, you don't see him as an opponent, you know, barely ever. And so, you know, you're not as shocked by his terrible season as you might be by Yelich's, but the Brewers need him. They don't have any other bona fide offensive catchers in the lineup. You know, Manny Pena, will he be back? Nottingham, but those guys aren't offensive, you know, powerhouses. That's not what the Brewers expect. They need production from the catching position. And Narvaez has got to provide it, that they're counting on him, and he should deliver if his career means anything. So those two guys, you know, as big offseason acquisitions, and then having a full chance with Luis Urias, you know, and where is he going to play? That'll be an interesting question, too, with Arcia. I mean, Orlando Arcia had a solid season, obviously, and he should be the 7 or 8 hitter on this club and be at shortstop, right? So where does that leave Urias? You know, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. He's going to be in the mix, but we'll just see, because he was the big offseason acquisition as well. So those three guys, to me, are big for this offense. And then the fifth biggest issue, and I have some honorable mentions here, but the fifth biggest issue, what will the mandate be for Mark Adonisio and, you know, and this offseason? There's a lot up in the air here. The Brewers didn't get any revenue from the gate at Miller Park, same boat as a lot of Major League Baseball teams. Shortened season, not as much TV revenue. Where does that leave us? You know, what can the Brewers do? I mean, Ryan Braun, if the Brewers picked up his option, it would be $15 million this season. I don't think they're going to do that. Now, would they welcome him back? Yeah. But, you know, the buyout's $4 million. What do? Do you negotiate a deal with him and have him come back? I'd like to see it. I don't know if it's going to happen. There were a lot of tributes by the club toward Ryan Braun down the stretch. Does that mean anything? I don't know. You know, is Stearns in the front office on the phone to the media relations staff who makes all those videos going, well, you got to pump this up because this is it. I don't know. I don't know if it means anything at all, but it was there and it's something to take note of. Not the kind of out that Ryan Braun wants with back spasms or back oblique strains, whatever it was that ended his season, you know, short as well in that final series against St. Louis then in the playoffs. But, you know, there's some money to play around with, but is there money to play around with? I mean, what do they have? And in next season, it's not like you're going to give a strong gate to start the season. It'll probably be the same situation with no fans in the stands or very limited. So what do you do? What is the mandate? Do the Brewers, are they going to be ordered to cut payroll more? Do you roll with who you have because you bring back Kane and you think Narvaez and, you know, all these guys, Garcia, not to mention, of course, Keston Hira and Christian Yelich, are they all going to have a bounce back year? Because if they do, the offense should be a lot better. And they should, but you don't know. And again, if Ryan Braun and what you do with him frees up some money, well, again, maybe you can do something with that. But the other question is, like I'm just saying, what money does it free up given the fact that you just didn't have, you know, almost 3 million fans come through the turnstiles at Miller Park and you only played 60 games? You know, where does that leave you? We just don't have answers right now. So we'll talk a lot about that. So those are the five big ones. And then there's some more, which I'll get to coming up. Your Locked On Brewers. Look, it's almost inevitable in life, unless you live in a big city or something like that. You drive a car, right? You're in Wisconsin, it's pretty inevitable. You drive a car. And sometimes that car needs a little help. Well, that's why RockAuto.com is here. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you in your How Did You Hear About Us box. You shop for quality auto parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. The selection's outstanding. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog, unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals as do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? That's ridiculous. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's RockAuto.com. So I've gone over the five, I think, biggest issues, but there are some solid honorable mentions. So just to recap quick, five biggest issues in this offseason. Christian Yelich, number one. Burns and Woodruff, can they be elite? Number two. Bullpen coming together, what will it look like? Number three. Number four, Narvaez, Garcia, Urias, can they live up to their career averages? And particularly Narvaez and Garcia, and give the Brewers offense life? And number five, what will the mandate be? What will the directive be from the top of the organization, i.e. Mark Adonasio, as far as what the Brewers can do this offseason? That's a huge question. But that's not all. There's a lot. How will Lorenzo Cain's return affect the club? And again, we'll talk with Dr. Scott about what it would have looked like had he had an average season over 60 games for the Brewers in 2020. What would that have done? We'll talk about that on Thursday. So we'll talk about that. And also, you know, Ryan Braun, when will we know what the club's going to do, what Ryan Braun wants to do? Is that it? Will he come back? How will they structure a contract? I can't imagine they'd bring him back for $15 million. He's just not worth that, I don't think, at all as a player right now. So does he want to come back for a reduced salary? You know, what's the deal there? Part-time player, most likely, as he has been. So how will they handle that? And then, you know, there's obviously some other issues. One big one that I could have put in the five biggest issues, but decided not to. Judgment call. Josh Hader. Look, you've got Devin Williams, who's, you know, looks dominant. Now, I don't see any reason to believe he couldn't perform like that over 162 games. But, I mean, sub half of one ERA, that's a little much probably. He can't be that good. But he looks to be devastating, and the league will probably take some time to figure him out. So, to me, again, I still am on the side of, unless you got just an unbelievable haul for Josh Hader, and you could. They have 3 years of club control, and, you know, if you go to a large market team who's got some really good, you know, prospects, and David Stern says, yeah, that's worth it, yeah, pull the trigger. You know, pull the trigger this winter, for sure, on a Josh Hader trade. But if you don't get that kind of an offer, I mean, the Brewer bullpen next year could be a lot of fun. You know, still could be, even without Hader, but with Hader, could be a lot of fun, you know, as he develops his slider a little bit better and even maybe a changeup, talking about Hader. Then Williams and Knable coming back and Rasmussen, you know, Bobby Wall. They'll probably add another piece or two because they always do. It could be a lot of fun. I hope that Hader stays on the team unless the Brewers get a ridiculous offer they can't refuse. But that'll be a lot of conversation. I don't think you just say, fans do this sometimes. Let's trade Hader. Well, okay. But it takes two to trade, and you've got to get a hell of a return for the value that Josh Hader's going to bring you. Because, again, 3 years of club control, you know, and still, you know, I know he had some hiccups this year, but he was still really good. So, you know, I'd love to see that. For the Brewers next year, I'd love to see Hader back in the mix. He's been fun. It's enjoyable. I don't want to see guys like him leave town. You know, I trust in Stearns, and if there's a move to be made and it makes a lot of sense, I trust it, but I'd like to see Josh Hader next year. But you know, that's gonna be a big storyline in the offseason for sure. So, you know, there's a lot there, and Stearns himself and how the Brewers attack this. It's going to be a lot of intrigue here and a lot of question marks for Milwaukee, but they have pieces in place. Don't, you know, kid yourself. They have the pieces in place to contend. I don't know what's going to happen with Chicago. Are they going to make some major moves and blow anything up because they have not been able to win? The Cardinals are consistent. They went through a lot this year and still managed to put together a 500 team or a little bit better and make the playoffs. So they'll all still be there. The Reds, I mean, I don't know what to say about the Reds. They seem like they should be good. We'll put it that way. So, you know, competitive division again. It ended badly for the NL Central this year, but it doesn't mean that they won't be extremely competitive next year. But again, don't fool yourself with the Brewers. Don't trick yourself into thinking there's nothing there. There's a lot there. A lot of good young core. Pitching that I don't remember the last time you could get this excited overall about the Brewers pitching staff, you know? Still a ton to get excited about. And a lot of guys locked up for a while on that pitching staff. Under club control, at least, for a while. For years to come on this Brewers pitching staff. That's exciting. So, Anyway, just a summary, and we'll dive into each one of these issues a few times over over the next few months with Lockdown Brewers. But hey, you want to set up the off season and what we'll discuss on the podcast, and this is it, and the other stories that come up, because they will, and it'll be a lot of fun along the ride. Like I said, tomorrow we'll talk about David Stearns and his comments and what he said when he met the media on Monday, and then we'll also talk Thursday with Dr. Scott about Lorenzo Cain, about what that would have meant to have him on the team this year. So we'll talk about that on Thursday's podcast. Looking forward to that. Another visit with Brewers sabermetrics genius Dr. Scott. So have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow when we deliver your daily Brewers fix. You can always find us again at Lockdown Brewers on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks, my personal handle, and facebook.com/lockdownbrewers. Until tomorrow, I'm Ben Larson. Again, thanks. We'll deliver your daily Brewers fix all week right here on Lockdown Brewers, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network.